Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Heumann, and I want to welcome you to this special session on strengthening disaster epidemiology capacity in the nation. This is an update on tools and approaches. I want to get us started on time because that's the right thing to do. And hopefully other people will dribble in. But I wanted to draw your attention to an article. There may be a few copies left on the back page or on the back table. The impetus for this session comes from an article that was published last November in the AJPH, which was kind of an overview article on the role of applied epidemiology methods in the disaster management cycle. So if you weren't aware of it last November, and you're interested in learning more about this, I would draw your attention to the article. I want to start by thanking the epidemiology section for hosting or sponsoring us, and I also want to thank the Injury Control and Emergency Health Services folks for their endorsement of this session. We really appreciate the support in doing this work and getting this done. So today we're going to have three speakers plus me. I'm going to do an introduction and overview briefly to set the stage for the three speakers. And I will introduce the three speakers first, do my kind of overview thing, and then we'll go through the speakers. And I would ask you to save your questions, write them down, so that we can have more of a discussion at the end. So that hopefully you're okay with that, because that's the way I'm doing it. But so my name is Michael Heumann, and I'm an epidemiologist in environmental and occupational disease epidemiology. I'm currently a consultant with CSTE, the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists. How many of you know about CSTE? Raise your hand. That's a good number of you. Put your hands down. How many of you are members of CSTE? Only a couple of you. It is really inexpensive, and it's really important because it's one of the main advocacy organizations for applied public health epidemiology in the nation. And we put a lot of pressure on CDC, we put pressure on Congress and other federal partners to help us get the work done that we need to be doing. And I want to point out Jessica Worster, who's in the second row here, who's a representative from CSTE, and she'll take your membership check. No, you can do it online. But it's really a dynamite organization. So my background is I've been involved in public health for about 35 or more years doing environmental and occupational disease epidemiology. I've been doing disaster epidemiology for probably about 7 or 8 years, and in collaboration with both CSTE and CDC, we have established and are moving forward this new discipline called disaster epidemiology. And I want to give you a bit of an overview. But before I do, our speakers today, the first speaker after me is going to be Ashley Conley, who is with the Division of Public Health and Community Services in the city of Nashua, New Hampshire, and soon to be moving over to a hospital there. But she has been as a worker at the local health department as an epidemiologist for 7 years, and currently chairs the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists Disaster Epidemiology Subcommittee, and she received her master's degree from the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health. So that's Ashley. Wave, Ashley. Our second speaker is Angela Micheletti, who is right down here in front as well. And Dr. Micheletti has more than 30 years of experience, she started very young, in public health education, in injury prevention, and health communication. And she is currently the principal investigator and program director for the Emergency Medical Services for the Children National Resource Center, which is based at Children's National Health System in Washington, D.C. She earned her PhD in 1985 from Johns Hopkins University, and she's a member of the Safe States Alliance, another important organization that you should know about, and she's part of their Disaster Epidemiology Interest Group. The last speaker, who can't stand up right now because she's giving a talk a couple of rooms in one direction or the other direction, is Dr. Margaret Warner. And Dr. Warner is an injury epidemiologist at the National Center for Health Statistics, which is part of CDC. and she provides consultation on the analysis of mortality data to a wide range of constituents from both public health and private sectors. Her research focuses on surveillance of injury and other sudden unexpected deaths. How many of us are ready for death? As part of her work, Dr. Warner is coordinating and promoting public health surveillance efforts in the offices of medical examiners and coroners, important partners, and she'll talk more about that, but folks who don't necessarily see themselves as our partners. So let me begin with a bit of an overview. So Ashley is going to be talking about conducting surveillance in emergency shelters as one kind of focus area under disaster epidemiology. And Angela is going to be talking about applying injury epidemiology tools in disaster settings. And then Dr. Warner will be talking about, or Margaret, I should say, will be talking about using electronic death registration system during disaster response. How many of you are aware that death registration is moving to an electronic system? Is this something some of you are aware of? You'll learn a lot more about it today. So I'm going to begin with a brief overview, and I promise to be brief. I should say I whited that out, I guess I didn't mean to. I have no conflicts to disclose. The objectives of this entire session, and certainly my presentation, is to give you an understanding of what disaster epidemiology is and its role in both the pre-disaster phase, the disaster phase, and the recovery phase, and how to identify a variety of standard epidemiologic methods which are routinely now being applied in public health response to disasters, not only in the immediate disaster phase, but also in the recovery phase, and then again in the planning phase. And then finally, I want to be able to discuss the role of epidemiologists during a disaster and how it is that we can partner and are partnering with leadership in emergency management. So a bit of background, the application of disaster epidemiology is something that we've come upon because since 9/11, when all this money started flowing to public health to be involved in emergency response or in preparedness, we've realized that epidemiology itself and disaster epi in particular is able to provide reliable and timely information that is actionable by incident commanders and other leaders, other decision makers. And so it helps them do a better job of allocating resources appropriately so that we can meet demands and meet the needs that are occurring in the immediate aftermath of a disaster, and so we can also measure how we're doing over time. The origins of disaster epi actually began in the mid-80s through CDC when they would do international work. When there was a big typhoon or some big disaster overseas, usually in a developing country, they would send a cadre of epidemiologists and physicians to do work there. But it wasn't until the late 90s that we started doing some of that here in the United States. And it really wasn't until 2010 that disaster epi became a more commonly coined term. And so it developed, the whole field of disaster epidemiology is unfolding now, and it's been developing in a collaboration between CSTE and CDC, in particular the National Center for Environmental Health. And we have, in moving this forward, disaster epi has been incorporated now as a core capacity in public health emergency preparedness, or PHEP's, Emergency Services Function 8, which is public health planning and response. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with PHEP and their core requirements, but we're now an active part of that, which is a nice recognition to have. The idea is that disaster epidemiology is something that's scalable, that public health entities, even at a local level, can do. You'll see in a few minutes what the framework all encompasses. But in practice, it's more often executed during large-scale emergencies and incidents. And some of the different kinds of tools are listed there. Some of them you'll hear a little bit more about today, but they can range from rapid needs assessments to ongoing surveillance and rapid registries of folks to tracking, It also works to develop research questions that are needed to be addressed, as well as evaluation of registries. And obviously, as with everything else we do in public health and in epidemiology, our goal is the prevention of adverse outcomes. And those of you who know anything about Incident Command System, or ICS, disaster epidemiology is oftentimes assigned to the medical unit, but also can operate under the safety officer. So that's where it can go. Now, the critical thing here is that disaster epidemiology is integrated across many disciplines and agencies. So what I've listed here is the public health functions from the local and tribal level on up to the federal level. It includes partnering with the work that hospitals do in preparing for and responding to and recovering from disasters, as well as close collaborations with academic partners and our other federal agencies that are sponsoring academic research. I don't know how many of you were attending Aubrey Miller's session yesterday on the work that NIEHS is doing, but we're partnering together in this. Also, we're actively involved with industrial hygiene and safety professionals to try to maintain the safety of responders and the responder population. As I mentioned earlier, we're working closely with emergency management, as well as the other players that you can see there, including the business community. Now, within public health, disaster epidemiology touches on all aspects of epidemiology, whether it is injury, whether it is acute and communicable disease, whether it's occupational diseases, environmental diseases. Chronic disease is a big issue within disaster epidemiology. Think about it for a minute. If there's a big upset and people have to leave their homes and they end up in a shelter, many of the people will bring with them their chronic diseases, but how many will remember to bring their medicines as they flee? Most don't. And if we don't understand what's going on for those needs, we could have a secondary epidemic or outbreak. Certainly, environmental health plays a big role in terms of trying to understand the safety and health and sanitation within those sorts of situations. But all aspects of epidemiology and public health in all disciplines are covered by disaster epidemiology. So we developed a framework that kind of illustrates this, and I'll be stopping as I show you this. And this, again, as I said earlier, was developed in collaboration between CDC and CSTE. And by the way, I should mention that CSTE has a disaster epidemiology subcommittee, of which Ashley has been our chairperson, and it's something that has, I think we have like 100 or more participants from all across the United States, from local state health departments, from CDC, from academia and others. And if this is something you're interested in, you can see myself, you can see Jessica or Ashley, and we can help get you hooked up. Or you can go to the CSTE website and click on, it's still right now under Environment and then Disaster Epi, and you can find us. But so this is, here we go. So if you look at this diagram here, this is meant to be an illustration of the disaster management cycle. So something many of you are probably familiar with. We start ideally in the prevention, mitigation, and preparedness phase, where we think about what we might be at to face and prepare for. And then the excrement hits the oscillator and we have to respond. And so we enter the disaster phase. And the impact happens, and then we launch. And then we continue our work in public health through the response into the recovery and the rehabilitation phase. So now I want to just illustrate kind of how that works. So right away, when a disaster hits, we will, so many counties and states will launch rapid needs assessment. CDC has a system called CASPER, which we're not highlighting today, which some of you may know about. Community Assessments for Public Health Emergency Response is what CASPER stands for. And so that's rolled out to understand exactly what's going on in impacted communities, and that uses a two-stage random sampling design so that the information that's gathered very, very quickly is relevant and can be extrapolated to much larger populations. And then we also do surveillance of the impacted populations as we're able to do that. So part of it can be doing rapid response registries among the displaced people and people who are fleeing. So we do surveillance among affected communities. We also do surveillance among the responder communities. We want to know what they're being exposed to, what their risks are that they're facing, both physical and emotional, right? And infectious and injury, everything else. So surveillance is a big role. Those two things are some of the big roles that we play in the acute phase of a disaster response. And then as the disaster progresses through the response phase and into the recovery phase, we'll continue with tracking those populations that we've registered and identified to find out how things are changing. Are things getting better? Are they static? Are they worse? Have needs changed? And you may actually apply other rapid needs assessments later on in the cycle. And then registries. If there are exposures that have happened to people to, let's say, chemicals that are not necessarily going to cause acute symptoms but could well manifest somewhere down the line, we may promote or encourage that they be entered into registries so that they can be tracked over time, referred to appropriate medical surveillance so that we can identify things happening quickly. From there, in the rehabilitation and moving towards the prevention and planning stages again, there are a whole range of epi studies that are done, from descriptive studies to analytic studies, and some of the evaluations that can be done. And so again, as we move through planning, how did our evaluation systems work that we tried to, that we either had in place and hadn't thought about before? How can they be changed? Are there other interventions that were done that we can evaluate? Variety of other studies that compare the efficacy of our work. But the idea here is for you to just get a sense that epidemiology has a role to play all around in all of these cycles. And so with that, my contact information is there, but you can find it elsewhere. I'm going to go ahead and invite Ashley to come up.